Images.
Hello.
Am I doing an image in case? Just nice.
Thank you.
Okay, guys. So I was going to say, I always enjoy giving shirt clothing a lot. Thank God I get to do what I really love for a profession. There are two disappointments today, I must admit, though. Okay, one disappointment is that Gabe Shore is endorsing the Seneca Snack Shack instead of Polo. The Polo executives are on their way, Gabe Shore. You're in trouble. Okay. And secondly, Ani gam matzuv shuri balls and lo nimtzayom. Okay. Aval bimkomo Noam Kaplan, who is a nitzig shel Lashon HaKodesh. Okay. Mishem akim azeh nitzig. What's a nitzig? A representative. Okay. Great. All right. Let's get down to business. Okay. So we are going to discuss this concept of tashlumin for davening. The idea that if someone misses a tefillah, they can do a makeup. Okay. So let us start with Gemara Brachot. I think it's going to point to a lot of interesting issues, this issue of tashlumin. Okay, so the Gemara Brachot says as follows, okay? This is not in your sheet, but you can take out your Gemara. Okay, it's not in the sheet, guys, but everybody should have a Gemara Brachot with them. Okay, so the Gemara Brachot wants to know. Ibailu, this is just an important word to know, guys. The most important Gemara words are probably the question words, right? And we know that a lot of different attack words, for example, there's a difference between an attack that's introduced with meitve and an attack that's introduced with matkifla. What's the difference between a meitve attack and a matkifla? Simon Ganaus? Okay, excellent. Very good. Meitve is an attack question based on a strong source. Matkifla is just a logic-based attack. But not every question is an attack. We're not always attacking people in the Talmud. So what's Ibailu? It simply means it was asked of them. We've got a halachic problem. We've got a question. By Ibailu, nobody's under attack. So what's the question? So if you miss Mincha, can you daven Marv twice? Now that seems to be a specific question to Mincha. Why is that? So the Gemara goes on to say, it's one thing to miss Shachris and then to daven Mincha twice, because it's the same day. But if you daven, miss Mincha, and now it's halachli the next day. Now I'm going to do it outside though. Wait, let's get the language. It's crucial. What's the Gemara's claim? Maybe you can't do it because? Yeah, but what's the Gemara say? Of our Yomo, Batel Karbono. So where does that halachic principle come from? The world of the sacrificial order. In the world of the sacrificial order, you have the day to do it. If you miss the day, it's all over, right? The day has passed, the karban is negated. So notice how the Gemara sets up the question here. Which theme would indicate you can't do a makeup? Which theme of prayer? If I think of tefillah along the lines of karban, if I emphasize the karban theme, which is the one theme in tefillah, right? Prayer in the place of the sacrificial order, or modeled after the sacrificial order, then the law should be more rigid. Timing should be more rigid. Like karbanot. Karbanot had rules and rigidity. You miss the day, it's all over. Okay, now let's see how the Gemara phrases the opposite. What's the opposite side of the coin? The Gemara says, kibin to tsluta. Okay, that's a word everyone should know. What's tsluta? Yeah, prayer. Think about Kaddish. If you say, titgabel sloton, what are you saying? Accept my prayers. Okay, tsluta rachmeinenu. Prayer is about supplication for mercy. Kol ema tabai matzivas. Whenever you want, you could pray. Now, this is a very nice conflict here, like a classic good or right to machshava conflict. What's the other side of the coin? Which theme would indicate flexibility? I can do it later. The theme of prayer that it's asking God for mercy, meaning it's not this rigid structure like the sacrificial order. It is the solitary individual or the tzibur standing before their maker in dialogue. That's something that could happen anytime. So it's almost like you say, if we emphasize the karbon theme, we should say, of our yomo, Batel Karbono, right? And then you miss the day, it's all over. If we emphasize the Bakashat Rachamim theme, then we should say this flexibility, you can make it up. Now that conflict, guys, some of you may know this, the carbon theme versus a different theme, where else does that come up in Brachot? What's the famous debate about tefillah? Excellent, John Zeidel. There is a famous command on the next page, which wants to know, is tefillah patterned after the avot? No, Shachris is Avram, Minchas Yitzchak, and Arvit is Yaakov. Or the tefillah patterned after the world of Karbonot? In theory, one could say this is the same debate at work. Right, the Karbon theme and the avot theme I would then conflate with the Rachamim theme. Okay, we're good so far? Great. So what's the Gemara's answer, guys? What's the psak? What do we say? That, what happens if you miss Mincha indeed? You can do it. Just like this tashlumin for Shachrit, this tashlumin for Arvit, there's tashlumin for Mincha. But now we get to a key point here, guys. Yeah, Jordan Stabler.
So
Look, I... That's an interesting question. Look, so one of two things. Either we have Zmanim because both themes are true to some degree. Really, the Rachman theme would know Zmanim. Or maybe you're onto something interesting that even according to Rachman, there could be some kind of structure. That's an interesting question. But I'll leave it aside. It's a good point, but I'm going to leave it aside for now. Okay, guys, so now it seems like the winner is the Rachman theme, right? You all agree? That seems to be the clear winner. Okay, I was joking around this with Alex Kazdan. Alex Kazdan and I learned Nefesh HaChaim once a week. Sayyid Nefesh HaChaim is the famous Misnagdish track, and he has a section there where he makes fun of the Hasidim, or the early Hasidim. And he said, oh, this is very good for right now. They're all into inspiration, but they're not so good at keeping rules. So he has this famous passage where he says, let's say you're inspired on Pesach night to hear the shofar. You're very excited. So we say, but it's Pesach night, we're supposed to be eating matzah. You say, but Rabbi, but I'm feeling shofar now. Right, it's got to go with the shofar. So he talks about how, like, if you're all into inspiration, like, there's no sense of structure or rules or commitment or the like. Okay, so you might say that's the debate right here, right? The Karban rule-based book or the Rachamim, you know, flexibility. But if that's true, very exciting for us, right? The Hasidim win here, right? It seems like we go with the Rachamim theme. Really, you can make it up. I see Avi Hart just smile. The mere fact I said the Hasidim win made him smile. Okay, so we go with the Rachamim theme, and we're good to go. Okay, however, things might be a bit more complex. Everyone go to source 5, please. I'm curious if anybody picked up on this. I was very excited to find this, because I did not expect things were going to go in this direction. Look at source 5. Okay, so source 5 in the Meiri, there's a Rishon from southern France, a place called Provence. Very interesting Rishon. Okay, so the Meiri says, look at the last two lines. Okay, if I forgot Mincha, so he says, at the end of the second to last line, the Ein Omrim Avar Yomo Batel Karbano. Indeed, as the Mark concludes, I don't say it's too late. If I miss a Mincha, I could daven Marv twice. Shari Af Eivar Muptam Shemit Aklin Kolalaila Mikarban Ikarban Ayom Shavarhe. What did he just do? You know, that's how he might have shifted the Svar? Let's just translate for a second. Whatever Eivar Muptarim, Eivarim are limbs and Ptarim, fats, good. Shemit Aklin Kolalaila. You know what that means? Mitakel? They're being consumed, or being, where the Hebrew verb for digestion is the same verb. Ayin chaf lamed. Ah, he got that. Okay. No? Kama ratzet mo ba'alala? Ratzi? Okay, ma ze ten? Ten, you know the word for ten? You don't have to say that in English. Okay. So how much time? 40 minutes. What are you both? You're not 3 seconds. Mazda minutes. Mazda minutes. Somebody help me out here? Dakota. Okay. Get that down. What are shniyot? Okay, very good. Very bold. Don't move. Yeah. We usually rock Oche Lachat. Oche Lachat, okay? Lama katap lo nuriel bishmona bevoke shatabaderef vigata bishimis ibrela. Okay, sorry, you don't have to. That was only for the people who understand. Okay. Okay, so back to the Meiri. Okay, so what does he say? The limbs and okay. So guys, one thing about the interesting about the Beit Hamikdash, there are no sacrifices that are initiated at night. Meaning, I bring sacrifice in the morning, I bring sacrifice in the afternoon. There's really no sacrifice at night. It just was not, the Beit HaMikdash was kind of like on hiatus during the nighttime. Okay, however, what might be going on at night? So again, you might have had an animal that you already put in the Mizbeach. Sometimes at different speeds, the flame will consume what's there. So there might have been leftovers. So the leftovers would be on the altar at night. So there could be something going on at night. Okay, that or the environment is what's going on at night. But notice what he just did. Wait, according to the Meiri, why is there tashlumin for Mincha? And very good, okay, most people caught it. I mean, you don't have to go to the Rachamim theme. Even in the Korban theme, it's true there's a rule of Avar Yomo, Batel Korbano. At the same time, something happened in the sacrificial order the next day, the next halachic day. Right? If we have leftovers from our daily sacrifices, from the day, from the afternoon, you will leave them on the Mizbeach at night. So I thought it's interesting, he kind of shifts gears. Had the Gemara set up the question, if you go with the Karban theme, no Tashlumin. If you go with the Rachamim theme, there is Tashlumin. Since we conclude there is tashlumin for a mis mincha, I would have concluded the Rachman theme is the winner. But the Meiri intriguingly says, no, not necessarily. Maybe I could come up with a svara even in the carbon world, why there's more time. And it, indeed he's done so. So let's leave it, according to that, the tension is ongoing. It's not there's a clear winner. Either the Rachman theme wins, or within the carbon world, I could come up with a svara to extend the time. Everyone good with that? Okay, great. Let us move on now. Okay? Then the Gemara will do the rest outside, guys. The Gemara says, let's do this pasuk in Kohelet. This is actually a famous pasuk that everybody always misreads. Okay? Guys, what is the, how do you pronounce correctly the pasuk in Kohelet? Okay, the Gemara quotes the pasuk here. What's the pasuk? Okay. Everyone always reads it as ma'ot. Ma'ot would mean money. Okay? It is not money. It is me'uvat. Okay? If you want to impress your friends at parties, guys, you have to quote the pasuk correctly. Yeah, I was just discussing this with my Lindebaum class. Like, one of my Lindebaum students said, like, what does it matter if you get the word right or not? So I said, just think about the following example. Let's say you want to say, am I my brother's keeper in the original? Right? And you get up and say, as it says in Chumash, Hashomer Achi Ani. Okay, what would you say to that person? That's not the pasuk. It's actually Hashomer Achi Anochi. Now, why does that matter? First of all, you sound like an ignoramus, right? Because you should know the pasuk. Second of all, what if there's a difference in life between the word Ani and Anochi? Maybe it really matters. Okay, so a little precision of language can matter here, guys. Okay, so says the Gemara, Mu'uvat lo yuchalit kot. Something crooked that cannot be fixed. What's something that crooked cannot be fixed? If you miss davening, that seems to conflict the idea of tashlumen. It sounds like you can fix it. Okay, so what's the Gemara's answer, guys? What's the Gemara's answer, Simon? Excellent. So the Gemara says there's mazid and there's shogig. Okay, let's say it's mincha and I'm just not feeling it. And I say I don't want to daven mincha today. Right? So then to be no tashlumen, I chose to not daven mincha. But many of us in this room where we're committed Jews, that doesn't happen so often. But what does happen is we went to sleep in the afternoon and we wake up, it's too late to daven mincha. Or we just forgot, right? We usually daven mincha early, we didn't realize we daven mincha early that day. It happens. Right? So that is shogay. So at that point you'd be allowed to, okay, that makes sense. So tashlumen exists for let's file this way, we'll get back to it. Tashlumen exists for shogay and not for Mason. Okay, so we have a couple of principles so far. Principle one, all three tefillot have tashlumen, shachas min chamar. Two, if it's shogig, not if it's mason. Let's get the last principle. When the Gemara goes, actually two more principles. When the Gemara then goes to Amud Bet, the Gemara says the following. Ta'av alo yifal mincha b'shabbat. Here we go. This week classic. Like you finished your learning Torah, you finished your settlers game, take a nap, and you wake up, and it's Motzei Shabbat. What do? You miss mincha. Mitbal b'motzei shabbat shtayim shel chol. So there is tashlumen, but notice, what's the tashlumen? Here's the interesting case, right? I missed Shabbos Mincha, but I'm making it up on Saturday night. So you might have thought, what prayer should I do? I should do a Shabbos prayer. What's the problem? There's something odd about saying Shabbos Tefillah, and it's 8:30 at night after Shabbat. So apparently, what's the tashlumen? So we learned a new principle. Tashlumen is always the tefillah that's relevant to the current time period. Even if I'm making up for a different kind of time period. And what's the converse of that, of course? If I miss Mincha and Erev Shabbat, what would I do? Two Shabbos Tilot at night. Okay, it's got a third principle. Even though Tashlumen is a makeup for something else, I dab namida that fits the time period I'm currently in. We're good so far, guys? John Saito. We're discussing it right now. It's in the Gemara and in a great machlokes in the Mishnah Berurah Chaim Soloveitchik. It's such a good machlok that I was going to save it for the end of Shir, but I'm tempted to do it now. I have not decided yet. Okay, we'll see in a second. It's very, very incredibly longish point. Okay, Joey. No, but that's exactly the point, Joey. When I'm davening the Amidah, what am I doing? A Shabbat Amidah. So the Amidah that I'm doing is actually relevant. It's true, there's this halachic irony, I'm making up for a chol Amidah, but I make up for it by doing a Shabbat Amidah. I think your point is exactly Gemara's point. Max?
If you miss Marib, let's say the next day Shachar, you're Balfour, you're Shul Tzibur, so you do start the Shas, that qualifies your...
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, not for now. Good question, yeah. We're getting there right now. We're getting the cover under right now. Okay, now here we go to the last question, guys. If you think about it, if I ask you, what am I doing when I do Tashlumen? I'm basically now saying the same word twice, right? Because I'm saying the Amidah and saying another Amidah that seems to be relevant to the time period. So you might say that when if I ask you which one am I doing first, you can never tell because they're the same thing. But Motzi Shabbat is a great test case. Because Motzi Shabbat, the Mar Tefillah should have an addition called Atokan Atanu. So apparently at that point, if I miss Mincha and Shabbat, I'm going to daven the Amidah twice, only one of which will have Atokan Atanu. What do the Gemara want me to do? What's the Gemara very clear about? Atokan Atanu should be in the first Amidah. What seems to, we'll get there in a second. That's a good question, Jody. What seems to be the logic here? Exactly. What should have primacy? What I'm supposed to be doing right now. Like makeups that are not as significant as the main obligation of the time. If it's evening, my first thought should be, what's my obligation? Marv. And then the second one should be the Tashlum. Therefore, I suggest the Gemara. Okay, don't get to your point right now. Suggest the Gemara. I should make sure that that's the right sequence. If I mess up the sequence, I mess it all up. Okay, then before we get to, I'm going to go to Reb Chaim right now because it's going to deal with Joey's point. But let's go, remember guys, we have four principles. Okay, I know we usually do lumdas, not such a practical lacha, but we now have four principles of Tashlumin. Principle one, it applies to three tefillot, Shachris, Mincha, and Mar. Principle two, it's if you miss Peshogeg, not if you miss. Amazing. Principle three, what tefillah do I daven? The current one. I mean, if it's Shabbos, Shabbos, if it's Chol, Chol. Principle four, first the main obligation, and then the Tashlumin manifests in the case of Atachan Atanu. Now, Joey Trubnik asked a very interesting question. Joey says, wait, maybe on Motzei Shabbat, when I do the Tashlumin, I should say Atachan Atanu in both Amidot. Maybe I should say it in both. Right, if I'm saying that's the time period I'm in, right, just like on Shabbos night, I daven the Friday night Tefillah twice, it's not even clear why he's wrong. Like maybe I should say Atachan Atanu twice, which the Gemara does not suggest. So we're going to see a Svara now that I think is going to deal with your question. Okay, take a Mitrani, okay there? Life's good? No Rothman, you're right? Okay, excellent. You adding any columns to the newspaper these days, no Rothman? No, how come not? Why not? You write the bite? You haven't written yet?
Not written yet.
How come your literary talents have not yet been recognized? Okay, there are two possible answers to the question. Okay, let's go, guys. Okay. No, I didn't mean that. Okay. Let's go, guys. Okay, so now let's deal with the great case. Now, normally, if I forget, there's a very good case coming up, guys. I think you'll all appreciate the lumpness of it. But before we get there, you need to create the case, which is not so easy. Normally, if I forget a Atachan Atanu on a Motzei Shabbat, what do we say halachically? What do you normally say? You don't have to go back. Why? Exactly. Because we really say Havdalah twice every Saturday night. We say Havdalah in Davening. We say what's called Havdalah al HaKos. We're going to say it in a cup of water. So since we're going to say it on the coast anyway, all right, you don't have to go back. You're going to get that Havdalah theme in. So if I ask you about Sunday morning, normally, if I'm trying to create a case where Atachan Atanu is relevant Sunday morning, usually I can't create such a case. Why can I usually not create such a case? Because Havdalah Kos takes care of it. So now think about it, guys. Let's say I'm really curious, though. I want to create a case of Havdalah Sunday, Atachan Atanu Sunday morning. What's the only way to create it, Joey? Exactly. I was really tired. Right. We'll use you. Jake Manis, are you playing tomorrow? Okay, against the advice of his mother and doctor, Jake Manis is playing tomorrow. Okay, but let's say he plays, and now he's exhausted. So he goes to sleep Shabbos afternoon and wakes up Sunday morning. Now I've got a case, because he didn't do Havdalah and Tefillah, and he didn't do Havdalah on the coast. One second, Jordan Cohen, and he missed Marek. Now I've got a good case. Okay, Sunday morning, Jake Manis, serious guy, comes to davening. He's going to do another Amidah. So what do you say, guys? Now he would say Atachan Atanu. Everyone see why? Because he has not yet done Havdalah al HaKos. In which Amidah should he say Atachan Atanu? What is your gut reaction? Meaning the first or second? Whoa, okay. Who says second? Okay, Greg, why second? Okay, so Greg says, I'm going to rephrase it. We said the first field is the one you're up to, and the second one is the makeup. So if Atachan Atanu was said in the Saturday night tefillah, so first you do Shachris, Shachris Sunday morning does not have Atachan Atanu, and then you go to the second Amidah, which is the makeup for Arvit, that's the one that should have Atachan Atanu. So that is a good svara, Greg. The Mishnah Berurah is on your team, not bad. Let us look at the Mishnah Berurah in source 8. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Im Shachach Lebel Mitzvah Shachrit Shtayim, Ve'enu Maskir Atachan Atanu Lo Bishna Lishna, you don't say Atachan Atanu at all. What's the case where I wouldn't have to say Atapatanu at all? When I did say Abdallah. Aval imlo hivdil klal. What if I didn't do Abdallah either in davening or halakos? Tiyesh lav adayin chiyah mitzvah Abdallah. Yaskira Atapatanu b'shakrit b'tfilah shniya. Greg's on the money here. Why tfilah shniya? Shehi lahashlama. Because that's the one. That's the tashlamin. So most people, when they think about this, they start with the Mishnah Berurah. The first one is shakrit. The second one is the makeup. Atapanatanu should be inserted into the makeup. No Rothman.
What would happen if, say, Saturday night, you say, Mishnah Berurah, come up there with those calls? Would you then, like, say, fall asleep and you don't have enough
dog? Oh, that's a very good question. Excellent question. I'm not even sure what the answer is. Yeah. Did you just think of that right now?
Yeah.
Okay, Alex Kasdan, wow. Brisker star here. Okay, so as we know, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik is known as starting the Brisker method, certain mode of Talmudic analysis. Okay, we're not going to describe what it is now, maybe some other time, but he has a brilliant story right here. Let's look at this for 1 second, guys. Now, Soloveitchiks are very reluctant to publish. Okay, in fact, Reb Soloveitchik, we call the Rav, became much more prolific after he passed away, because he left all these manuscripts for then. They converted to many books, but he didn't like to publish that much in his lifetime. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik only allowed one book to be published in his lifetime. That was his Perush on the Rambam. But there is also, from student's notes, there's a book called Chidushi HaGrach al HaShas. So that's coming from the student notes. Look at this point. Here's a brilliant point. The end of the first line, source 9. Amar HaGrach, by the way, those of you who have been to Poland, you probably saw his grave. If you ever went to the Warsaw Jewish Cemetery, so the Nitziv and Reb Chaim are buried right next to each other. And it's quite interesting, actually, because neither of them lived in Warsaw. But, you know, in the old days, like, transportation wasn't so easy. So let's say you were visiting Warsaw and passed away. They didn't necessarily bring your body back to the town you were from. So they're both buried in Warsaw, even though neither of them lived in Warsaw. Okay, says Reb Chaim, end of the first line. Amar go to Reb Chaim, the apta tefila shniya atil tashlumen. I agree. Of course the Mishnah Berurah is right. The second prayer is tashlumen. Mikomakam tzarech lomar havdala bari shona. Wait, why is that? Didin havdala enu seder betila ravitcha matzah shabbat. That is a good svara. Can I say what he meant by that last line? Yeah, Jordan. Exactly. It's very, very clever svara. When I say Atachon Atanu Saturday night, is that because Atachon Atanu was somehow inherently linked with Marav? It belongs to Marav more than it belongs to Shachar Mincha? No. Why do I usually insert Atachon Atanu in Marav? Exactly. I'm transitioning from Shabbat to the weekday. The first opportunity to transition, I should say Atachon Atanu. So to say it in a lumpish fashion, Atachon Atanu is not a din in Marv. It's a din in the first whole transition. So if I could create a case, I realize it usually doesn't happen, guys, but if I could create a case where Shachris precedes Marv somehow, like after Shabbat, I encounter Shachris before I encounter Arbi, then what should I do? I should insert Atachon Atanu there. If I could send a great case where I encounter, I know it's hard, but if they think about like some parallel universe, right, some like, those who like fantasy books, imagine some like time-changing things. Although they should never do that in fantasy. You guys know that rule? Right? Every time someone goes back in time, there's always like some logical mistake. It never works. Right? If you guys write a fantasy book, don't do any time travel. It never works. Okay, but in any case, let's go back here for a second. So let's like create a case where Mincha was the first tefillah that showed up. So then I should say, Atachon Atanu, and Mincha. So now I've got a great svara. Okay, I'll take comments in 1 second. I missed all of Abdullah Saturday night. I'm going to do 2 tefillot Sunday morning. Says the Mishnah Berurah. First one, Shachris. Second one's makeup from Arif. Obviously, Atachon Atanu goes in the makeup. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik says, no, that's wrong. But not because he denies that sequence. It's true the first is Shachris, the second one is the makeup from Arif. But who cares? Atachon Atanu was not inherently linked with Arif. Atachon Atanu was a function of the first whole tefillah that shows up. If Shachris happens to show up first, I should insert Atachon Atanu in there. Okay, Joey, good svar, no? Yeah.
Until you say Atachon
Atanu
or
Havdalah,
are you able to do
Havdalah? Okay, good rule, guys. Again, even though Shir Klaus is not a practical halacha, we normally see there's Havdalah b'tfilah and Havdalah al kos. Each one allows one thing. What's that when you finish? Havdalah b'tfilah allows? Malacha. Havdalah al kos allows? Eat it. That's why, as Noah Rothman mentioned, if you want to do malacha before davening Marev, we allow you to simply say, meaning, a verbal utterance can be a replacement for Havdalah b'tfilah, but it can't be a replacement for Havdalah alakos. Okay, Joey, so usually the davening is what allows malacha, and the wine is what allows eating.
So I'm saying, if you use the Mishnah Berurah's logic,
yeah,
can't you still cross with
I think the answer is daven shachar is not a malacha. Look, I guess you have to work out, Joey, like, it's still Shabbos for you in some sense. It's not really still Shabbos for you. I think you have to work out. You have to navigate that. Yeah, Jordan.
Why do we have a problem in the case where you didn't say Abdullah Alco Saturday night when you have until Tuesday to say?
Okay, there is. Okay, so Jordan's right. Let's start with this for 1 second. Okay, good, good, good Abdullah tangent. Okay, even though it's a separate topic. Oh, sorry. Okay, so here we go. Thank you. Ari Roberts. When I say bad halacha class, they need somebody to give it. Okay? You're in charge of that, Ari Roberts. Okay, so now, there's a famous halacha that if I miss Abdullah, I have till Tuesday afternoon to say it. I don't know why, guys. What's the logic of Tuesday afternoon? Yeah, Tom?
Because until Tuesday is connected to that.
Oh, great. That thing, guys. Who here in the room is a real Shabbos Jew? If you're a real Shabbos Jew, like, all of life revolves around your proximity to Shabbos. Imagine that's you. Okay? Samson, that's you? Okay, here we go. We got Samson. Samson, the Shabbos Jew shifts. Okay, so he's got the following. He's always thinking, what is my proximity to Shabbos? Right, so what are the two possibilities in life? If you're, either I am in the post-Shabbos period, I'm still thinking about, right, Samson, oh, I had a great Shabbos in Sfat, it was amazing. Or I'm in my anticipating Shabbos period. So what should happen every week at that point? Think about it. It's pretty easy. It's pretty easy math. There's 6 days in between. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I'm still basking in the glow of the previous Shabbos. And Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I am anticipating the next Shabbos. That's good for. Once that's true, I can make Havdalah only on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Because I have to still be in the post-Shabbos period. I'm still linking what happened previously. Once I hit Wednesday, okay, now my orientation is ready towards the next Shabbos. Very good talk. So that exactly is the Sfarah. So Jordan, in that case, though, we wouldn't make you fast. Right, if someone knows, let's say you're on a desert island, all you have is water. And everyone agrees you can't make Havdalah on water. But you know someone's arriving with grape juice on Tuesday. We would not say you can't eat till Tuesday in that case. Okay? Yeah. You think you find a crime so compelling you can't justify the mishaber anymore?
Exactly. I'm saying, how are your funds? Also, is there like a smart to me that someone deals with the Havdalah
before Havdalah? Yeah, in theory you could do that, I guess. We feel like once you already didn't sit, wait, you woke up and I'm not yet on Havdalah, you might as well daven first and sneak in the Tefillah under there. But what's the advantage of that way?
You walk.
No, you can walk anyway. Why can you block anyway? Because you just say Baruch Hamad Yom Kodesh Zogol. So what? I mean, you might be right. If I did that, I would then no longer say Tavrat. I'm not sure why I would do it that way.
Ah,
you're saying if I, for whatever reason, need to eat before davening, then I would have. Yeah, I guess so. No, you make a case. Let's say for whatever reason, you need to take your medicine with a piece of cake. Let's say, and you need to take your medicine right away. I agree. The solution. No, I think if you did have Dalal Kos already, that would render. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, stop.
What if you said, in order to do Malachi, you said, Baruch Ma'adim Kodesh Lachol, and then you still haven't gotten Marv yet?
That was the Noah Rothman case, right?
Right.
That was a good question.
How can you say something about it if you already used its purpose?
Right.
I think the answer is, that's a good question. Have you got to tell us a question? Okay, let's say for whatever reason I need to do Malachi, the second Shabbos is over. So I use the trick of the Baruch Ma'adim Kodesh Lachol trick, now I can do Malachi, and now I'm davening Marv, but I still say, so I think the answer is, well, I'll ask you, I'll throw it to you guys. That's always a good strategy when you don't know the answer. No, actually, I do know the answer. Let's say someone says, don't say a Tefillah Matana, it's a bracha levatala. What's the answer to that question? Yeah, a Tefillah Matana is not adding a bracha, it's just expanding. So I think the answer is like, there's no loss. There's no halakhic loss at all in adding a Tefillah Matana.
But it's just adding to your children, you're just saying words.
Well, look, at Tefillah Matana, first of all, it's very nice words, and they're more extensive than just saying bracha levatala and kodesh
lachol. The relevance is no longer there.
Still adding to the theme.
Yeah, I think it's a theme. It's a very powerful theme. I'll just start this for 1 second, guys. This is actually very cool. Okay? This is good. I'm sneaking one more machshava piece. We're always looking at a little machshava in Shirkoli. Why do we insert Havdalah into that bracha? Why is that the appropriate bracha? Think about it. We try to insert things to the appropriate theme, right? Where do we insert, for example, where do we insert Al-Anisim? Where do we insert Al-Anisim, guys? Why? It makes sense. That's the bracha of thanks, of gratitude. Al-Anisim's got gratitude. So it's pretty logical. Okay, so you should ask yourself, wait, why would we insert Havdalah into a theme of knowledge, wisdom, understanding? All right, Alex, what do you say?
It's just like in your mind, that's how you separate between
Okay, so I'm going to go one step further. Okay, but for, I'm going to say another answer first. There's a technical answer, but I think Alex is a more exciting answer. What would be the technical answer? Yeah, Jordan?
It's a little bit of like
knowledge. No, that's not technical. That's a deep answer. Technical answer, Joe? Yeah, you guys will get good answers. I want the technical answer. It happens to be the first. Jordan got very good. The first whole bracha. Like, maybe we put it in whichever bracha was the first. It's not... I don't say it's not so exciting. It's not a terrible answer. Right? You're waiting for chol to show up. Then you can do atakon atano. When does chol show up? Bracha like that. It happens to be first. Therefore, right, would we first ask for forgiveness? It would have been stuck in the forgiveness bracha. Would we first ask for health? It would have been stuck in the health bracha. Okay, Jordan Stab was very unhappy with that. Because he's Mr. Omnisignificance. Okay, so maybe we're looking for the first chol bracha. That's where it shows up. Okay, the second possible question. No, it's not an accident of placement. It is inherent. But then you get to a very deep idea, guys. Maybe one of the foundations of wisdom and insight in this world is the ability to make distinctions. Right? Think about it. There's different kinds of analytic thought. Sometimes people like to make connections, say it's all the same. But maybe in the world of thought, if you can't make good distinctions, you can't draw sharp divisions, right, your thought is impoverished. So therefore, Havdalah is a function of dot. It's not an accident. It truly belongs there. All right, who else had a comment? Yeah, Jake.
Going to Rafa's logic, mm-hmm.
You would.
Yeah,
no, but you would according to everybody. Get this down, guys. It's going to be on the final. Okay. In the case where you missed Mincha on Shabbos, and you're davening the Amidah twice, according to the Mishnah Berurah, guys, think carefully before you answer. You missed Mincha on Shabbos, not Marv. And you're davening Marv twice. According to the Mishnah Berurah and according to Reb Chaim, when do I say Atachan Atanu? Very good. Everybody would agree in the first one. But the internet, the follow-up question on the final is going to be, but why? If he asked the Mishnah Berurah, what would he say? Why would you say Tachanatan on the first one? Avery? Because he thinks Tachanatan is inherently linked with Marv. And first you do Marv, and then you do the makeup. If you asked Rab Chaim why you're doing it in the first one, what would he say? Because it's the first whole opportunity. Right, so in that case, they'd all agree. That's why we needed to create the Sunday morning case to have Machloket. Very good. Yeah. We didn't do Pesach here in Chicago. Yeah.
So can you say Alamim just in the second one and not the first one? Then remember, maybe it's that the first one is nullified, and you can say the first one is, right? Is that true?
No, that's what we saw in our Gemara.
Right, because the first one doesn't count anymore, right?
If you did it out of order, you're not Yotze. That's correct. Yeah.
If the reason why we do a Tachon Atanu and a Tachon is because it's like the beginning of Chol, why don't we just do a Tachon Atanu as its own bracha right after HaTakadosh? Like, because that...
Look, it's an interesting question, but if you think about it, halacha seems to be more prone to expanding brachot than adding brachot. You can ask the question with everything, right? We add Yal V'Yavo, we add Al Nisim, we add Baruch Aleinu. The model seems to be we like the number of brachot we have. We don't want to add brachot, we just like to expand brachot. Okay, correct. Well said, Jordan. Okay, we're good, guys? Jordan, you're getting, you're flipping out. You're starting to make yeshivish jokes. Okay. It's all over now, Jordan. Okay, here we go, guys. Okay, yeah, Joey. No, it's the first chol bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. Think what happens in Shabbos and Yom Tov. The first three and the last three remain the same, and the middle section shifts. So I'm waiting for chol to show up. Atachonin is when chol shows up. Okay? Good? Did I still step in? Okay, great. Let's go to two more questions, guys. That was rigged. What? Okay, two more questions, guys. Now, I kept saying there are three tefillot that have tashlumin. But some could easily ask, well, what about, probably left out, Musaf. Does Musaf have tashlumin? So let's look at a couple of Rishonim. Let's start with Tosfos and Source 3. Okay? Tosfos and Source 3. Says Tosfos, Yibailu, Tavlo Pel Tila Mincha. Lo by the Gemara is not asked, Im Tavlo Pel Tila Musaf. What do you miss Musaf? Davadai Eino Bepel Barvit. What does Tosfos assume? It is a no-brainer that Musaf does not have Tashlumin. Why not? Why is Musaf somehow, you know, weaker than the other three? Why does it lose out to the big three? What's wrong with Musaf? Okay, so he says, "Heich yikret the carbon of karbon on musaf." What does he say basically? Well, what about the carbon theme? You're supposed to musaf in the right time. If you don't do that, you can't make up. So why is that different though? Then, guys, wait, I understand. But what is that? Why is it not true about the other tefillot? Why is musaf different? What's really the story here, guys? Well, you're gonna think about chakras. Chakras is patterned to the tamid shel shachar. Do you mention the Tamashul Shachar during Shachar? No, you don't talk about it at all. It's just patterning after it. But what do you say, Musaf? What do we say every time? We read the Karbanot. This is the flower. This is the libation offering. So Musaf is much more linked with the carbon thing. Let's keep reading, keep reading. And he says that also, even the second story is the same thing. So first of all, you're going to actually read the psukkim about the Karbanot. Okay, next. Joe Schnitz, are you here?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you? I can't see you. What are you doing out there? Okay. How come you're behind my book? Okay. Thank you. Okay. Here we go. I guess it's, if you're going to hide behind any book, that's the book to hide behind, Joe Schnitzer. Okay. The Gam, Lo Tiknu Shev Rakot Shemusaf, El Mishum Unishalma Perim Svatenu. It's a good principle, guys. I don't know where this pasuk is from. Unishalma Perim Svatenu. Good obscure pasuk there. Okay. It is a pasuk in Hosea. But what does it mean? Our lips will pay for the Perim, the bullocks. That's the source for the idea that Tefillah could be a substitute for Karbanot. What's he claiming? That's the only theme of Musaf. I think that's very interesting. What do you want to claim, basically? What caused tension in the Gemara? The Karban theme versus the Rachamim theme, or the Avot theme. What can one say about Musaf? Musaf, guys, is not so exciting. It's devoid of tension. Why is Musaf devoid of tension? Because there's only one theme. Ever see what happens? That's an important point. It could be all of our prayer life has this tension. The rules of the sacrificial order, the spontaneity of Rachamim. Maybe Musaf does not have that. So it says, look, we read the Karbanot. There's no Rachamim. So therefore, what should the halacha be in Musaf? There should be no capacity to do a makeup. Moses.
It's for Rabbi's not raising his hands.
Okay.
according to the Meiri, then, who says that...
Yefe Mod.
He says that Karbanot...
Excellent. Excellent. That is a great question. I do not have a good answer. In fact, I would even argue... I'm going to repeat it in 1 second. Okay? I mean, you don't have to read Tosvot. Tosvot's not in Miri's team. Because according to Tosvot, think about what Tosvot said, guys. Tosvot says, for Musaf, there's no Rachamim, therefore there's no Tashlumin. What does that imply? The reason there's Tashlumin for everything else is because there's Rachamim. Remember, we said that was the simple reading of Gemara, but that's not the Miri's reading. Right? As Moses and Ravadi are pointing out, according to the Miri, now I'll repeat the question, the reason why you could do Tashlumin for Mincha is because even the carbon theme allows of an extension. So if you really plug that in, there should be Tashlumin. Musaf, it's an excellent point, Ravadi made. So I did not check the mirror if he holds that or not, but he's absolutely right. I just want to point out one thing where Ravadi's question might not be a question, might be true. The Gemara never takes an explicit stand about Musaf. It just never discusses the case. Tosfot assumes there's no Tashlumin. What could the mirror hold in theory? There is. Maybe the answer is Ein Hachanami. So just to sum up for a second, there's a very, very good chakir. We got our second chakir here. According to Tosos, why can you Tashlumin on the next day? According to Tosos, not the Miri. Because of the Rachamim theme. If that's true, it does not apply to Musaf. Ravadi's right. According to the Miri, you can do Tashlumin the next day because of an extended Karbanot theme. In theory, there's Tashlumin for Musaf. Yeah, Joe. Well, we'll get to that in a second. It's interesting. It might depend on machloket chacham and Rabbi Yehuda. But you guys might know this machloket for Musaf. Do I have all day, like Mincha, or do I only have till the first 7 hours of the day? So I would have to do Mincha Musaf by 1 o'clock, as it were. And it's actually an interesting question because there are cases in life where I haven't done Musaf yet to raise him on Mincha. And now the question is, it's a famous Kohen Bracha, which should I do first? Right, this usually doesn't happen to us. Like we daven Musaf on a Shabbos morning at 10:30, it is not raised on Mincha. But imagine a case where, like, I know, you go to a Karbach Minyan and they get a little carried away, right? And then they have a nice Kiddush, right? So here it is. Who here goes to KJ? Okay, Jared, I'll make fun of the youth meeting KJ for a second, okay? Okay, one day of youth meeting KJ, no one can wait for Musaf for the Kiddush because it's such a good Kiddush. And even though Davin only takes 1 hour and 5 minutes, right? They're still eager for the Kiddush. So they stay up the chakras, we're having the Kiddush now, right? And they start a chant, we want the Kiddush now, right? And then after. So now the Kiddush is over, and it's already like 2 in the afternoon. Right, so now you have a longer question. Wait, I have Mincha. Which one should come first? Okay, so that, we'll get to the Musaf question shortly. Yeah, Jordan. Okay, that's a very good question. Okay, here we go, guys. Let's go to one last issue. Okay, maybe we'll talk to two last issues, actually. Let's go back to the first Tosfot, source 2. Actually, I haven't looked at it yet. Here's another question I'm not getting into right now. But if we could go to Umiyu, towards the end of the third to fourth to last line. Umiyu im icher ad ha-mincha. Let's say I missed Marv and I missed Shabbos. I'm really exhausted. Okay, now it's mincha. I missed two tefillot. Nirad avar zman batel karbano. No, now you don't tell me. I mean, it tells us a new chiddush. You have one time period to compensate. You can't compensate if you missed two time periods. Why? Kivin shesha kol kach. Sha means to delay. Ulaachar beit tefillot. Lo matzinu shetiknu cham lachzot b'leil m'shachach. Nobody says now. The question is, how much I make of this analogy? Again, according to Tosros, I can make it up when I missed it once, not when I missed it twice. So I missed Shachris and Mincha, I can't have in Marv three times to make up. Look what he says. Afilu tefila achat, even if I miss one tefila, imbitel b'mezid, lo yuchal et kon. Now, here's an interesting question, how strongly to read that. Is Tosros just saying, like, a rough analogy? If I miss two tefilot, I can't do a compensation. Just like, if I miss one tefillah, b'mezid. Right, you could say it's a very rough analogy, right, guys? But the Pnei Yeshua, I hope you guys appreciate this, he has a fascinating svara in Surah 6. Guys, according to the Pnei Yeshua, I know some of you got it. Why is it not just a rough analogy? What does the Pnei Yeshua hold? Yeah, Jared?
It says that if you miss two tefillah in a row,
very good, guys. I think we all react this way at some level. You're all going to have it when you're a parent or when you're a spouse. Right, let's say, I don't know, I'll make fun of you. Let's have the husband be the bad guy, okay? It'll be like the parents' teachers. Okay, here we go. So let's say your wife says to you, please take out the garbage. Okay? I do a lot in the kitchen. You should take out the garbage. That'll be part of your job. Okay? So you forget Sunday night. You can say this. I'm sorry, honey. I forgot. But if you get Monday night and Tuesday night also, at some point, your negligence forgetting should be treated more like a willful act. Like, how do you keep forgetting? Like, you must really not care. It's almost mazed-like at that point. So you could say one shogeg is qualitatively different than mazid. You're not trying to miss, you fell asleep. But someone who's a constant offender, at some point, multiple shogegs are the functional equivalent of mazid. That's a good svara. But according to the Pnei Yeshua, it's a great svara. How come when I miss shachris, I could say mincha twice? When I miss shachris and mincha, I can't say marv three times? What would Pnei Yeshua say? It's very simple, because at that point, mazid. I'm not shogeg anymore. And we already knew the halacha was. Tashlumin was only enacted for shogeg offenders. Not for mazid. Have you got that? So now, but I think it's interesting. I read Tosfot as a rough analogy. According to Yeshua, it's not a rough analogy. It's actually a precise analogy. What does Tosfot say? Missing two tefillot for shogeg equals missing one tefillah for mazid. It is a precise analogy. In those cases, you can't do tashlumin. Yeah, Jake Manis. Oh, that was really clever. Whoa. Everybody, you heard that? You missed Jake Manis. That's a great question. Okay. Jake Manis. Okay, you know what? You can play full Jake Manis. Okay. And we have what Jake just said. Here's a very clever question. What if I, 7 days in a row, sleep through Shachris? Isn't that a great question? According to strict law, it sounds like every day I miss Shachris, I could do Tashlum Mincha. But Jake says, but if the Pnei Yeshua was right, I should start to view myself as amazing, right? It's not two shogegs in a row in terms of shachris and mincha, but it's two shogegs in a row in terms of shachris. That's a great question, Jake. I think you came to the Yeshua. That is a killer question. Whoa, great. On this quote you had at the dinner table tonight, Jake Manis. What a good question. Jake, it's okay. See, you don't have to go to football. It's okay. You won't be a professional football player. Okay, guys, I'll tell you a funny story. I have a friend who's a Little League coach in Beit Shemesh. Okay, a guy named Mark Tobin. So, you know, in Little League, you always want to make sure the kids are having a good time. So this was Mark Tobin's opening speech of the season. He walks into his Little League, all these 8-year-olds are there, and he says, listen, kids. You know, his brother, Scott, lives in Rana. He lives in Beit Shemesh. Okay, so if Mark says to him, listen, kids, no one in this room is going to be a professional baseball player. So we better be having a good time or it's not worth it. Okay, that was a very inspiring opening speech. Okay, so Jake Manis, you're not going to be in the NFL, but it's okay, though. It's okay. Yeah, Joey. Okay? Look, you guys, in some ways, you're the flip side of Jake Manis' problem. Like, the Pnei is identifying double shogeg with two tefillot. And you guys are pointing out that that identification might not always be in place. Okay, it's a good question. Yeah, Tani.
If you have a job that, like, requires you, I don't know if this is already answered, if you have a job that requires you to, like, miss a month?
That's a great question. There's a tremendous Truma Hadeshim, guys. which would I not want to go overtime? Because I like to not go overtime in my shiurim. I would have thrown it in. There's a very interesting question where you're, as, you can all imagine this happening in your lives, guys, as man, you're in the middle of a crucial business deal, but the afternoon clock is ticking, right? As the mincha time and opportunity is going away, but you got to close the deal, and you're afraid you get up now, right, the deal won't happen. So the Truman Edeshan wants to know, could, if such a person miss mincha, can he do tashlumin? But I think that's not just a halakhic question, very just a hashkafic question. Like that kind of financial pressure, how should we evaluate that halakhically? So I'm not taking the answer, guys. See if you can look it up. There's a great Truman Edeshan about that. I think it gets quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. You're assuming in halacha that lack of gain is not at the same weight as loss. So you're right in psychology, but I'm not sure if you're right in halacha. That question most of you just said, it's very interesting. Who's here has read Daniel Kahneman? Anyone read Kahneman? Okay, so if you read Thinking Fast and Slow, Kahneman argues that people have something called loss aversion. When they're trying to make decisions about their money, the capacity to lose 200 is always evaluated as more weighty than the possibility of relinquishing a gain of, very interesting psychology. Because you could say economically it doesn't make sense, right? If I'm looking at my budget for the year, right, a loss of 200 and a gain of 200 is going to even out, right? But yet, that's the nature of human beings. We really don't want to lose. We're okay if we don't win. But, so that's interesting. The question is, should halacha be like that? It could be when it comes to hefsid. Maybe giving up a great opportunity is also something should be factored in to the halachic system. Okay? It's a very interesting question, Moses. All right, we're good so far? Okay, guys. Let's talk about some other... That was very good. Really, take my hands. Very good. You made my day. Okay, let's talk about some other implications of the Pnei Yeshua. And the Pnei Yeshua himself realizes a very interesting implication. Okay, let's talk about this for 1 second, guys. There really are... We talked about Mazed versus Shogeg. But the truth is, there are really 3 categories in the halachic system. Here's where the English language gets in the way. But if I ask you to translate Shogeg, what do most people usually say? Accident. What's the problem, guys? Why that... This is where translations are tricky. Yeah, Aaron? Yeah, he's absolutely right. But accident makes it sound like you're not at fault at all. Okay, if you're not at fault at all, actually, halachically, you're not called shogeg. You're called onus. Because there's really 3 categories in this world. Let's say there's certain wrongdoing. There's mazed, I intentionally did the wrong thing. There's shogeg, I did the wrong thing because I was negligent. And there's onus, it's not my fault at all. Right? Not just halacha, most legal systems have that distinction. Right? If you become a lawyer or a judge, and you deal with homicide, so there's something in American law called negligent homicide. Right? You were driving at an incredible speed on a city street. You didn't try to kill anybody, but that's negligence. And there's another case where the steering wheel failed and you had just taken inspection the week before. There's no negligence whatsoever. You wouldn't be charged with a crime in the slightest. Because again, whether you have intent or not, there's a difference in the world between shogeg and onus. There's a lot of implications to that. For example, if you kill someone by shogeg, what's the halacha? You have to go to a city of refuge in your miklat. What if you kill someone but onus? Nothing, right? Why should you be punished? You're doing wrong. It's a terrible tragedy, but, right, you don't have to go to a city of refuge. There's no fault whatsoever. Okay, let's go back for a second. Now, we can now imagine... Charlie, you doing okay? Where are you going for lunch today, Charlie? Come to Yeshiva, it's going to be good. Okay. Okay, so here we go. So, I did see Charlie in the lunchroom the other day. It was good news. Granted, he did come there and decide not to eat, but he did come. Okay. Okay, so here we go. So, you could miss mincha for one of 2 reasons. You could miss mincha because you're negligent, right? You went to sleep, you could have asked someone to wake you up, you should have realized you didn't daven mincha yet. Or you really, really, it was not your fault. It was really, like, you're about to daven mincha, and you have to take someone to the doctor, and you run out to the doctor. That's not your fault in the slightest. But what do we normally say, guys? Is there tashlumen in both those cases? Yes. So what do we say? One second, Joey. There is tashlumen in shogeg, there is tashlumen in ones, but there's no tashlumen in mace. Okay, that makes sense. But now let's think for a second. Wait, if the Pnei Yeshua as far is right, do you realize a really interesting implication? What if I have an extended onus? And therefore I miss both chakras and mincha. What should happen if I hold like the Pnei Yeshua as far? I should be able to. So let's think of the last split of the day here, guys. A lot of learning is we have to make analytic splits. That's why Gemara can teach you how to think. Okay, here we go, guys. Ah, back to Havdalah. We're making good division here. Okay, if I say, what's the problem with missing 2 tefillah slots? You could have, if I didn't know the Pnei Yeshua, let's do the alternative. What would be the alternative possibility? Why can't I do it anymore? Because the grace period's over, right? Who says grace period should be endless? So I have one, if I'm in the mincha period and I miss chakras, I'm still close enough. Right, you see what I'm saying? Maybe it's just about the sheer passage of time. If it's about the sheer passage of time, That Svara applies equally to Shogeg and Onus. But the Pnei Yeshua was adamant it's not the sheer passage of time. According to Pnei Yeshua, why can't I do it when I miss two tefillot? Because two Shogegs is the functional equivalent. Amazing. But there's no reason in the world to say two Onuses are the functional equivalent. Amazing. So there's an amazing implication. Guys, if the Pnei Yeshua as far as right, what does that mean? That if I miss the Onus, it is actually, maybe it's endless. Right? You could have a great case. What if you could conceive some reason why I've Onus missed 3 weeks of davening? What a good case. Now, finally, my Onus is over. Okay, what can I do now? That's it. 22 tefillot. You just can't beat that. Okay? Okay. Obviously, it sounds absurd, but in theory, that's where the Pnei Yeshua leads to. Let's say, like, you know, we're back in Sefer Daniel. Oh, I gave it away. I should have asked that as a question. To you, Justin Doma. Okay, what is an edict that happens in Sefer Daniel? What's not supposed to go on? You got a little Tanakh, guys. We snuck a little Machshava, a little Daniel Kahneman, and a little Tanakh. What? Well, let me ask you a question, guys. Why is Daniel thrown in the lion's den?
Because he davened.
Because he davened. Very good. You're only Schwartzman. I didn't know you were a Tanakh man. Are you a Tanakh man? Okay. There's an edict that he's not supposed to pray, and Daniel prays. That's why he's thrown in the lion's den. So now, let's say you're in Babel, and you say, I don't have to risk my life to pray, which you might not have to. So you're Onus. So the edict goes on for 3 weeks. Now, thank God, the Babylonian monarchy rescinds the edict. So you go to the rabbi, and the rabbi says, oh, it's Onus, not Shogeg. Okay, 22 Amidot, line them up. Right? So I guess it's hard to imagine, but that should follow from the Pnei Yeshua Svar. Jordan, you're not happy. Yeah.
Is the Pnei Yeshua
Svar that you miss? He says, why, when you miss two, can't you make it up? Because you're not Shogeg anymore, you're Mazit. But that's only true with a double Shogeg, not a double Mazit. Is that a double Onus? Ah, that was very clever. Very clever you just said. But I think what the issue would say is, I miss Shacharis. I'm a Shogeg. I miss Mincha. I not only do the Mincha as Mezid, I reinterpret the first Mrs. Mezid. You see what I'm saying? Because now you see that, I really don't care. He didn't, that's just me. He didn't say it. No, because according to you, his Svara only covers one to two tefillot.
The second
one. No, but I think he's trying to explain why I can't do the first one.
But it makes sense to
me. No, but that's only if you say the passage of time per se is the issue. But he clearly thinks the passage of time. No, you agree? I agree, that's the alternative to the issue. The passage of time per se is the issue. But he clearly indicates it's not the passage of time per se. We'll read together. I mean, you want to say his shogi on his split is just about mincha. Okay, it's clever what you're saying. Let me just look for 1 second. All right, I'll look at it afterwards. I want to do a brief summary. Any other last comments? I do a summary. Yeah, Joey. Joey Trubnik. Come get your coli star here. Why was it onus? Because maybe you don't have to risk your life. Stop it. Did you read the opening? Sure. He just naturally said that. Okay, guys, we have natural lamdanim. Natural born lamdanim alert. Both Alex Kasdan and Joey Trubnik. There are certain cases where you miss, but you can make the following last lamdanim to fix the day, guys. You could say, I am chayev, but I'm not at fault in the slightest. There might be another case where, because you're in situation X, you're simply putter. And if that's true, there'd be no concert makeup. I'll give you a very simple example, guys. That was very good, Joey. That's exactly what this is at the end. Anyone know what someone who's exempt from mitzvah temporarily? Very unusual case. There's a certain person, not an Abba Barei, Onein. Very interesting halacha, guys. Someone, God forbid, loses a relative. Between the death and the burial, they're what's called an Onein. An Onein's different from an Abba. They're not mourning yet, but they're actually, we give them an exemption from mitzvah. It's very unusual halacha, very interesting halacha. An Onein's exempt from mitzvah. So let's say you miss Marv because you're an Onein. So here, Joey's point is a great point. You could wake up Sunday morning and say, I was an Onein last night. Someone was on last night. I'll daven two tefillot. You could easily argue that, no, an Onin isn't someone who's chayev who has an excuse. An Onin is someone who's simply not chayev. So there's no point. There's nothing to do tashlumin for. That is very great, Joey. That's great. All right. Last point, a quick 2 minute summary. Some at a time. Okay, here we go. Very quickly. We're going to do 4 halachot and 4 chakiras. I don't even know what they are yet, but I'm going to think of them. Okay, 4 halachot. Number 1, in tashlumin. Which tefillah does it apply to? Shacharis, Mincha, and Marv. Okay, why does it apply I'll do the four halachot first, then the perfect you're right. Okay, then we said, when does it apply? Only if I miss? Shogegor, ones, but not mazer. Third halacha. Okay, if I miss on a weekday and I'm making it up on Shabbos, how do I do it?
Two Shabbos.
Okay, fourth halacha. Which one's the main one? Which one's the tashlumen? Okay, excellent. Let's go to the four chakiris. Okay, that was the prat halacha. Now the four lumdish parts. Okay, why, when I miss mincha, can I make it up even though it's the next halachic day? Simple reading the Gemara. Because the Rachamim theme wins. According to the Meiri, even the Karban theme has an extension. And then we have Ravadi's very clever point about Musaf. Okay, next. Why can't I extend Musaf, according to the Rishonim? According to the Tosos, why not? We said there's a tension in the Karban theme and the Rachamim theme. What's the nature of Tilat Musaf? It is only the Karban theme. There's no tension there, and therefore there's no Tashlum. Great. Next. If I miss Havdalah altogether on Saturday night, and I'm saying two tefillot the next day, why does the Mishnah Berurah think Atakatanu goes in the second one? Tal. Because the second one's the Tashlumen. So he thinks that Atakatanu goes in Marit. Why does the Chaim Soloveitchik think it goes in the first one? Avery? Exactly. What is he basically saying? Atakatanu is not about Marit. It's about the first Chol Tefillah. So if Shacharis happens to be the first Chol Tefillah, my very lumdish point. Put a takatana there. Okay, last point, guys. Okay, let's go to Mincha. Here we go. Tosafot says if I miss two time periods, I can't make it up anymore. Let's say you don't hold like a Bnei Yeshua. You could say that's simply because it's too distant. Too much time has passed. What was the Bnei Yeshua's far? That two shogegs is amazing. What is, just to close the other guys, what was the nafkamina between the two svaras? Is it the sheer duration, or is it two shogegs is amazing? Very good. So if I say it's sheer duration, so shogegs only shouldn't matter. If I say it's because multiple shogegs show lack of caring, add up to amazing, so at that point, as the Pnei Yeshua very nicely points out, if someone misses multiple times bonus, they should be able to make it up. All right, guys, everybody have a great job. Let's get a chazan.